She entered our world as a young child and thankfully never really left. You may know her as Cherry, best friend and sidekick to Punky Brewster, or Maxine, Laura Winslow's partner in crime on Family Matters. She currently hosts her own podcast, Cherry's World, and she'll be back on our TVs real soon when an updated version of Punky Brewster returns to NBC's new Peacock streaming service. She is Cherry Johnson. I'm Jerry Strauss, and this is The Laugh Track.
Do you need your weekly comedy fix? Relax while we visit the sitcoms you love, the jokes you remember, the characters you will never forget, and the stars that bring them to you. Sit back. It's The Laugh Track with Jerry Strauss.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to The Laugh Track with Jerry Strauss. He is I, and I am him, and we are back together again. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you for all the love and all the support and all of the shares and listens and downloads and everything else over the last few weeks. We've had some really big episodes, including our recent show about Freaks and Geeks with our friend Sarah Hagen, as well as our handful of episodes with some of the stars that you remember and love from Friends. And we're about to do it again this week. We've got a big one, a double threat, if you will, because this young lady has been a part of our lives since childhood on the classic 80s sitcom Punky Brewster, and her teen years as part of the classic family sitcom Family Matters. So it's going to be a lot of fun to catch up with her this week about her past, her other past, her present, her podcast, Cherry's World, and of course her future, because she is coming back, guys. She is going to be part of the new Punky Brewster reboot that will be unveiling soon on the Peacock streaming service. And cheap plug here, for more talk about that service, go back a few weeks and check out our episode all about the new Saved by the Bell revival that will also be a part of that one with the head honcho of that show, Emmy Award winning writer and showrunner Tracy Wigfield. That was a great episode too. So go to laughtrackpod.com, another cheap plug, and catch up on all of the old episodes that you haven't heard, or maybe you just want to hear them again. In the meantime, let's get to the business at hand this week. It's Cherry Johnson on The Laugh Track.
I watched the episode of one of the shows you're so known for, Family Matters. I watched it right before, but I also got to watch this interview that you did like 8 years ago, just this random interview that I was doing when I was just kind of popping around the internet looking for information about you. And you said something that struck a chord with me, and I think a lot of people who are listening to this, so hardcore. You were talking about your, just basically your approach to your career, especially after Punky Brewster, after Family Matters, and how you realized you have to kind of just take control of things. You have to kind of go for what you want, and you know, you're the one who has to make it happen. And the thing I think he said was that, like, people on average audition 100 times to get one part, and you didn't want to waste that kind of gas anymore.
And it gets tiring, especially when they think that they already know you before you walk in the door, and they think they already know your ability. You know, when you come off of two very long-running comedies, nobody wants to see you for anything dramatic, because they just assume all you can do is dun-dun-dun, make people laugh. There's so much more to me if you give me a chance. And I realized that I couldn't sit around and just knock on these doors and wait for somebody to open and give me this chance. So I had to create my own chance.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but that's something that I think just cuts to the chase so hard for anybody in any walk of life. Either you can kind of go with the odds that people tell you, go with the challenges that people tell you to believe that you must face, or you just forget about it and you go for it. Sometimes it's not necessarily the case. Maybe you go on three auditions and you get your dream job. And maybe, you know, that happens to people.
Punky was the first thing I ever auditioned for. Mind you, I had to audition 7 times. It was still the first thing I ever auditioned for. And then there were plenty. You know, I've been told no way more than I've been told yes.
Sure.
So I work frequently, which I'm very blessed about. But If I work two or three times a year, that's great for an actor.
Yeah.
But just imagine how many no's I got.
Yeah. And that's
did every no.
Well, I think it's the idea that every time you go for something, the likelihood on paper is that you're not going to get it. There's more of a chance that you're not going to get it than that you are. So some people might take that to say, well, then why will I ever go for anything? Because chances are I'll never get it. Why would I ever play the lottery? Chances are I'm not going to win it. But yeah, you have to focus on how you can kind of make those things happen. And there are ways to kind of circumvent those numbers and to put things more in your favor and just kind of put faith in yourself and what you're doing and just keep pushing on. And I think that your career is amazing proof to people listening. Again, I mean, even in the podcast world, which you're, you know, killing right now.
Thank you.
But I mean, there's so many people, and trust me, the podcast community will tell you, do it for yourself, do it for fun. Don't ever think that you are going to get an audience. Don't ever think you're going to make a dime doing this. Just, you know, put out what you want, but don't ever have any expectations for success. And I think you're living proof that that's BS.
I think that's wrong. Like, you can't tell people that. I truly believe in the power of manifestation. And Courtney, my show's producer, he actually came up with the idea. I have done other radio shows and things like that before. But Courtney was like, why don't you do your own and let's just do Cherry's World? He's like, you have great friends, you know, great people. Let's just do it. And I was like, oh, okay, we can do it. And then I had written some goals at the beginning of the year. And one of the things was I needed my subscribers to grow. And Courtney was like, wow, Cherry, the things that you're asking for are a bit ambitious, you know? And I said, well, I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't think that it was feasible. So I definitely believe in the power of manifestation. You have to believe in yourself before anybody else would. Courtney wrote me the other day and he was like, oh my God, we hit those numbers that you wrote. I said, and it's not the end of the year yet. We just have a little while more to go. So I saw it, and anything you can see, I always tell people, if you can see yourself with that thing or achieving that goal, you're going to get it. But if you can't see yourself with it, then you're not going to have it.
And I want to mention to people who don't know about Cherry's World, this podcast you're doing, you're taking over multimedia because you can see bits and pieces of it, video, audio, like everywhere that you can find great content online, you are there in some way, shape, or form.
I'm trying to be. You know, we're on social media, we're on Patreon, we're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on Apple Podcasts. I want to make it easy for you to find me.
Yeah.
We're on YouTube, you know, so I figured the easier I make it for you, the more I might get your attention.
And let me tell you how you got my attention, because I know you. And again, I think we haven't even gotten into the meat of anything here, but people know you largely. I mean, you've done so many different things, but a lot of people remember you from Punky Brewster, one of the ultimate family comedies in TV history.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people know you from Family Matters, which, of course, one of the great family comedies.
Absolutely.
So when you see a podcast from you, Cherry's World, and you see, okay, she's talking to her friends, she's talking to her old co-workers and people that she's starred in these shows with. And then I see, oh, she's got like Uncle Luke from Two Live Crew on. And I'm like, wait a second. There's a whole other side to this show. And it's bonkers. It's insane. But
he is one of my best friends in the whole world. And that's my favorite. My people, you know, they see these characters that you play and they just assume that that's you.
Yeah.
And the person that everybody sees when they see Uncle Luke is not the man that I know.
Right.
I know a totally different person.
But it's fun to kind of drill into that and say, okay, and this is, what does it look like when the girl I know from Family Matters for 10 years is hanging out with Luke from Two Live Crew? Like, what is that night on the deck? Like, what? Like, what is that conversation between the two of them? And this is what that podcast brings to it. And it's real, and it's just conversation, which is, I think, the rawer and realer conversation can be. That's the most compelling content that you could find on podcasts these days. Just
thank you so much. I'm so happy to know that you enjoy that kind of stuff, because some of my comments are, it's like, Cherry, well, why didn't you prepare for the interview? And I'm like, I know my friends is who my friends are. I might not necessarily know their career per se.
Right.
I don't want to ask them those questions. Like, most time you're here already because you know who they are and you know their career. Let's talk about the person that they are. Let's get to know, like, how they're feeling today, if you care. That's kind of more my angle. And, you know, 38 years, I got a lot of interesting friends.
Definitely. And it's really interesting to me. And again, we're here to talk about Family Matters. And a very specific episode of Family Matters that you chose today. But Punky Brewster kind of started it all for you. And I didn't know until checking out some information just a couple days ago that you go way back with specifically, you know, some of the people from Family Matters back to the Punky Brewster days.
Sean. Like,
yeah. Who played, of course, your boyfriend on Family Matters as of the episode we're about to speak about. He played Waldo Geraldo Faldo.
Yeah. My lollipop.
But I had no idea that you guys go all the way back to childhood. That's insane.
I was 8 years old when I first met that man. And that's one of the ways it was so easy for me to feel some kind of adornment towards him. Because he's my childhood friend. I do adore him. I do love him. He's one of my favorite people on this earth. Mm. And when people talk about him, I always say, oh, my lollipop.
And Jaleel White as well. You knew him well before the Family Matters days.
Yes,
right?
I think we were like six, seven.
That's crazy. I don't remember the kids that I went to, like, what would that be? First, second grade? Like, I'm not friends with anybody from first grade.
I knew Darius before Family Matters too, because Darius and I had the same agent. I think we were like 13, 14. And then by the time we were 15, we were working together.
You know, as we talked about before, we've been planning this conversation for a while for you to be on this show. So it's exciting that you're here. One of the things that we talked about that has stuck out to me ever since is the fact that you were a part of these two monumental shows, Punky Brewster as a kid, and then really Family Matters more through your teen years. And I think most people would have just assumed that you have a much sharper, a sharper memory of your Family Matters years simply because you're older, but not the case, right?
Don't. You know, it was not just my teen years. It was my teen years to my early adulthood. Because I was on the show for 9 years. I think I started when I was like 15 years old.
Okay.
So it ended when I was like 25. And I think because I had a life then, you know, there was like, I went to real high school, even though I went to school on the set during, you know, the time that we were working, I still went to real high school. I still had a real boyfriend. I still had real friends and a real life. Yeah. So I was juggling that and work. It was kind of a job. And it was like secondary to me because I didn't even realize that I was being paid most of the time because I was a kid still, but right. I was more interested and I had a free telephone, you know, and it's when long distance used to cost money.
So
right from Pittsburgh, I used to be able to get on my telephone and call Charlie Batch, you know, in the dressing room and be like, what are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. And talk to my homies back in Pittsburgh for free without right. my mama hollering at me. So, you know, in between that action and cut, yeah, I was on the set, but I don't really remember that. We did over 200 episodes and I learned my lines and I only had to know them until Friday. And then after Friday, you got another script and you had to learn more lines until the next Friday. So it was kind of like when the show was over, you empty that out your head and you fill it with new lines.
I mean, most people in early adulthood, their jobs just flat out don't mean that much to them because they got a lot of other things going on. So whether you're working at McDonald's or you're on Family Matters, you're not going to remember that customer from 20 years ago now and that order that you had to fill for that guy at the drive-thru.
Yeah, no, not at all. Like, I was just trying to graduate high school and then I started college. I dropped out, but I started. It was hard to go to school and work at the same time. You know, you're at work for like 14 hours and then you sleep through night school. I'm just wasting money, honestly. So there was a lot of other stuff going on.
Okay, guys, quick time out here from this fantastic conversation. I'm having a lot of fun with Cherry Johnson, but let's talk about something that is super important. A great organization, No Kid Hungry, is a campaign that is helping kids remain fed each and every day, even when school is not in session. So take a listen to this message and get to know No Kid Hungry.
Because of the coronavirus, schools have closed nationwide, and kids in need are missing nearly 34 million school meals every day. For many, it's the only healthy food they might get in a given day. No Kid Hungry has a plan to feed these kids, but they need your help. Donate now at nokidhungry.org to help feed America's children during this crisis and in the months to come. That's nokidhungry.org. Thanks.
We're going to tackle, as we said, an episode you chose of Family Matters today. We're going to do the best we can. Maybe some things will kind of come back to you a little bit as we talk about it. But before we go there, we do want to make mention, and I'm going to be nagging you when the time comes to bring you back on this show, because the world is waiting for the Punky Brewster reboot. Oh. It's coming back. Any word on what's going on with the show and when it's going to see the light of day?
COVID has really messed up everyone's lives. You know, we thought that we were going to go back to work in April. That didn't happen. Then we got a call and they said June. It's June and Soleil and I haven't heard anything. So we're just kind of waiting like everybody else. But trust me, I don't think anybody's as excited as Soleil and I are to get back to work and to give you guys this reboot.
And I think people are excited too. I believe at least some of the video material that the Peacock streaming service put out, they did show a little bit of a clip of some of those highly anticipated shows. Yours, of course, then would be among them, along with the new Saved by the Bell reboot and some of the other things they're doing. So it's just a matter of time, because people are going to, you know, as soon as it's possible to create this show and get it up and running again, I'm sure that you're going to be back in the saddle. So
I know that they will, but Universal has to open back up. And then I'm sure there was somebody already renting our soundstage. So they have to fulfill that contract before they can bring us in and start a new one. So it's a lot of technical business stuff, I'm sure.
Gotcha. Well, you keep hounding them. We'll keep hounding you. Everyone's going to nag the crap out of each other. And eventually we're going to
I know it's going to happen. I just am not sure when.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And
thank you.
You know, we'll talk about it at the end again. You know, all the different ways we can follow you, Cherry's World, and all your social media and everything. I'm sure you personally are going to keep everyone updated on any information about that you hear.
Absolutely.
But on to Family Matters, because whether, you know, whether it's something that you necessarily hold artistically near and dear to your heart, it was definitely a big part of TV history. As you said, 9 seasons, I believe it was.
Yes. It's one of the longest running African-American shows in history. So it's definitely near to my heart. It's a great accomplishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the people that I worked with. I have more memories of them off set than I do actually shooting the show, or like the memories, you know, while we were there, but not necessarily of the shows itself.
What was it like, the atmosphere? Because we talk a lot about the aspect of, you know, performing live in front of a studio audience. And some shows, they do part of their stuff in front of people. Some there's none. Obviously, we've talked about some single camera comedies here like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But, you know, some have stayed much more true to that, let's put it all out in front of the people and treat it almost like a play. Where did Family Matters fall in that?
We put it all out in front of the people and treated it very much like a play. Wow. In fact, we loved that. It was the rush that we got, the energy that we got from the audience.
It was a very energetic studio audience, the energy that came from there. That was a big part of the show, I think. And you kind of forget about that with some of the shows from that era where they did allow that organic, not canned laughter and just the energy to come through. We've talked before about a show like Married with Children on this show, which was really driven very much by, you know, the hooting and hollering. And, you know, that was kind of half the show. And to its benefit, Family Matters also, you know, going back and watching this episode, just that big energy from, you know, some of the big lines and, you know, surrounding the Urkel character and, you know, for whether a fan or not, you cannot deny the fact that Family Matters fans loved the characters on that show and they bought into everybody. It was great.
So appreciate it. We think a lot of the fans, you guys, like, we call you guys friends because we all kind of grew up together. Mm. But you guys know the show better than we do.
I mean, it's a show that's still out there, still syndicated, still able to be seen. I think it's streaming on Hulu these days. So it's very much a show that lives on, not just for fans from back then, but for new generations of fans. On and on and ongoing, it just continues to really build steam, I think.
I definitely agree with that. You know, even during this quarantine, there's so much on the news and there's so much going on social media. Families are trying to kind of shelter their children. So I noticed that it's being, you know, a whole new generation is coming in and starting to watch us, which is amazing.
It's really great because... And I, you know, we both have kids of different ages. I've got kids who are 5 and 9. So they are of the age of watching a lot of present day sitcoms that are geared towards younger kids. And they're written down to them. Clearly, you can sit and watch and realize that they're just kind of, I don't know if dumbed down is the right word, but they're written to be very simple and very, very childlike. But it's great to see a show like Family Matters that is absolutely suitable and entertaining to kids of all ages, but we can deal with it too.
My daughter has just discovered it.
Yeah.
Yeah, within like the past few months.
Did you actively kind of hold back on that?
No, she just didn't care. You know, like we tried to show her Punky Brewster in Family Matters some time ago. I don't sing. Mommy's not the trolls. You know, mommy's not a Care Bear. So she just didn't, care. She still has not watched a full episode of Family Matters. She'll watch tidbits. She thinks Urkel's funny.
Okay. Well, that's the hook, but.
She thinks Urkel's funny. She'll be like, oh, look at mommy and look at Uncle Sean. And then she's gone. Mm. But I don't think she's watched more than a scene or two.
Oh, well. She'll get.
She's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, going back to just sort of the impact of the show in general, I mean, really an anchor for a movement towards those family comedies, that the TGIF branding of family-friendly comedies on Friday nights for so many years. I'd say if you look at all those seasons that night was a successful rating success, Family Matters was the anchor. Because you guys were just so dependable, you were so established, and I think you could trust that the fans would continue to watch and maybe give a chance to whatever came before it, whatever came after it, but that had to be a good feeling for all of you to just know, you know, they like us, they continue to like us. It's not one of those deals where, oh, are we going to get canceled every season?
That's really sweet to say, but we were kids. I don't think we even thought about that. Because while you guys were watching it Friday nights, we were actually filming Friday nights.
Yeah.
So we weren't home watching the TGIF stretch. Like, we were actually filming while everybody else was watching TGIF. We were trying to get home on Friday night, either to go to sleep because we've been at work since 8 o'clock in the morning, or to go out.
Yeah.
Darius and I were taking showers, changing our clothes in the dressing room. We were trying to hit the street. We were like, yo, where are we meeting? Are we going to do dinner after? What's going on? Like, we were trying to have a real life.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. Looking back on it, do you feel any of that, though? Do you feel, I mean, the success and the power that the show had, maybe if it wasn't really in your face at the time?
I had no idea of the impact that we were making or the fact that 20 years later, people would want to interview me and talk about this show. I did not know. I'm so grateful. I guess that's the only word I could really use, is so grateful. And I'm proud of our little family unit and what we were able to accomplish together. That's for sure.
Let's talk about the episode, because I think this kind of encapsulates a lot of what we're hitting on here. This is an episode that was in season number 4. So it's interesting. It's almost like a little experiment that I am involuntarily running. Everyone on this show seems to pick episodes to talk about that are right in the middle of their series run. So it's, you know, if it's a 10-year series, it's in that 4, 5, 6-year period, which I think really says a lot about sort of the lifespan of a show. It's when you guys knew your characters, you knew what the show was, you were really at your peak, I think, as far as just the strength of where you were going, what you were doing. And that's where some of the best stuff, most memorable stuff, seems to come from. So it's pretty cool that the spirit and the experiment lives on. But this was season 4, episode 20, and it's called Pulling Teeth. And what made you actually pick this episode? How much did you remember about this one?
You're going to be so mad at me. No. So while I don't really remember any of the episodes. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. Well, while I was looking for an episode list, right? I was going down, and I said, oh, there's my picture. I'm on that episode. Let me see that one.
This is going to be fun, because I am going to introduce you to this episode of television that you made that was monumental for your character, and it's going to be like you're hearing this for the first time. So this is going to be and, you know, hopefully any blanks that I leave, we're going to fill in with everyone who listens to this, and they're going to be tweeting and sending me even more information.
Please let me know what I did.
Yeah. And definitely hit up Cherry too, because we are going to make you a freaking expert in this episode, whether you want to be or not. Now you're in it. So,
I love it. I need a reminder every now and again.
It's weird because this episode's called Pulling Teeth, which is actually in relation to what I would call like the B story of the show. It's pretty minor stuff. It's Richie. He has a loose tooth. And Carl, of course, the patriarch of the family, the dad, is kind of on a mission to pull this tooth. So they have a talk about the tooth. Richie's trying to bribe him with breakfast so he can buy a video game at the same time. But in the end, Carl is trying to basically do this old school, old fashioned deal where he's going to tie a string around Richie's tooth, tie it to a doorknob, and then close the door. And I mean, we'll go all the way through the storyline. There's not a whole lot here. In the end, of course, as he's demonstrating this, he's got the string on his own tooth to show Richie exactly what's about to happen. And that, of course, is when Steve Urkel walks through the door, goes to slam the door, knocks Carl down, almost pulls his tooth out, and then some kind of a chase ensues.
You know, Winslow's, right? You know, it is so funny that you say that. My daughter's 5. She has her first loose tooth right now.
Oh, nice.
Telling her we should tie a string to it. She wasn't trying to film me, though.
I feel like if you do that in 2020 and the world finds out about it, like,
child abuse,
report you to an organization. Yeah, it seems like something that's not cool to do anymore, although I'm sure it's just quick, effective, and makes a lot of sense. But yeah, so it's interesting, again, because the show is called Pulling Teeth, but the real meat of this episode is about you. And it's basically a phone conversation. We'll see if you remember this, because this entire thing transpires through phone conversations where you guys are showing up on screen in individual squares. You're all talking to each other from your bedrooms, or I think Eddie Winslow's like working out or whatever. And it's just following each of you calling each other, putting each other on hold. Somebody else joins the line. It's eerily very much like Zoom. It's like the way we're all experiencing communication today. So it's pretty. Yeah. So it starts out with you calling Laura and letting her know that I believe your relationship with your then boyfriend named Roger had just come to an end because he dumped you because you'd been lending him money to fix up his car. He got his car fixed. And now he was done with you. And you were very, very sad about that. So that's sort of the beginning point. You remember this now?
Yes, I do. He used me. I remember.
And there's this great kind of joke that goes through because as we move on and everyone calls each other, the first question everyone asks or the first comment everyone says is, oh, he must have got his car fixed. So clearly everybody knew that Maxine was being played except Maxine.
Yeah, everybody knew that Maxine was a dork, except for Maxine. I literally did not know that my character was, like, slow. Like, I never thought of myself as the Christina Applegate, you know, of Family Matters. Right. Until I was interviewing Char Jackson, who's my cousin. And one day Char told me, yeah, boo, you were a little slow. And I was like, really?
Well, to my recollection, and again, I know we're kind of a little cloudy here as far as our specific memories, but I feel like this was kind of a turn for you and for Maxine. I feel like you didn't get a lot of spotlight before then. You were Laura's friend, first and foremost, and gave a lot of support to what she had gone through and just, you know, just being a friend. But I don't remember a lot of focus on the Maxine character until this episode. Do you?
No, but probably because she did have another best friend. And I think they were still trying to figure out what to do with me or if she was going to keep her friend or the direction of the show. You know, because initially it was just supposed to be about the family.
Right.
And then As the kids grew up, which naturally happens in every family, they acquire friends and they go off and kind of have pieces of their own life. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were sure who was going to stay or who to build stories around or, you know, where our audience was coming from. But as our teen audience built, so did my character.
Gotcha. I feel like this is probably the biggest leap from friend to more of an independent character with stuff going on that we'd seen so far. So this was like your biggest episode ever up to this point is my recollection of it. So I'm glad again that we're bringing this back to your consciousness.
I'm like, it could be definitely. I don't remember.
Yeah, trust me. And you were phenomenal in it. Trust me. You stole the freaking show. So, I mean, you're crying to Laura. Laura's getting a call from Steve Urkel, of course, who wants to show off his newest yodeling skills that he just learned in yodeling class or something. But the end result is this kind of chain of rumors and innuendo, so to speak, where the word is getting out that you are now on the market. So he's, you know, Steve calls Eddie. Eddie calls Waldo. Waldo's in the bathtub. Do you remember this?
Yes,
like underwater. So there's this great visual gag where the phone is ringing. All we see is this bathtub. And then his head pops out, of course, covered with bubbles somehow, like a cartoon. Amazing. And it, just as natural as can be that Waldo Geraldo Faldo would be not only taking a bubble bath, but underwater for who knows how long. Perfect way for his character to show up in this episode. And it's just this kind of chain of communication because he talks about how he's got a crush on you, but he's not confident that you would go for him or want to go out with him. He tells Eddie. Eddie tells I'm not even sure if Steve is in this. Steve, I think the running gag with these is that everyone just keeps blowing Steve off. He wants to be a part of it. He wants to know what's going on. Everyone's just trying to get him off the phone.
Poor baby.
But it becomes this thing where the word gets back to Laura. Laura talks to you and says, hey, news alert, Waldo's into you, and you're very reluctant about it. You're not really sure if this would be something you would want to do at all, to go out with him. And then you kind of cave a little bit and say, well, maybe if he asks me. Then she goes back to Eddie and says, yeah, maybe she would go out with you or with him. And then Eddie goes back to Waldo and says, like, yeah, she would definitely go out with you. And it's all this chain of like, okay, hold on. And then connecting to the next person. Do you remember filming all this? Like, was this all done?
I do have visions of us filming, because I believe they did it all simultaneously. Like, it was real life. You know, yeah. They were cutting, like, we all had one camera on us, and they were cutting from camera to camera to camera to camera, and we could hear each other as the cues, but we could not see each other.
It was so well done, and one of those things where I want you to go back and watch this episode and just see how sharp and how well done this was pulled off, because it was just so much fun to go from, well, maybe if he asks me, yeah, maybe he'd go out with you. He would definitely go out with you. And you hear that organic studio audience just kind of following and then like explode at the end, because they're just watching this all unfold. And it's just funny, man.
And that's the chemistry between us as people, because if the conversation was really going to happen, that's how it would happen. Yeah. Darius would definitely go back and make it something bigger. That's him.
And it was so great. And then so the word gets back, and suddenly the date is on without Maxine or Waldo ever actually having spoken to one another.
Right, because they planned it. They took over. And yeah. That's real life. Darius and Kelly would totally take over, and Sean and I would be sitting there like, okay.
In the second half of the episode, we go through a similar path, but now we're kind of seeing the story unfold of what happened on the date. Everyone wants to get clued in. How was the night? What was the date like? But just think of this story that was pulled off just by exposition. We never saw any of this date. These people were never in the same room together, but we've gotten this entire A story, this major plot throughout this episode unfolding just through words, through the writing and the conversation that you guys are having over the phone. But we get to understand what happened throughout the entire date, which was Waldo doing a lot of stupid things, one would think, on the surface. You know, we hear about how he showed up at the right time to the wrong house and ends up not knowing where to find you. So driving or running through the streets, calling your name until you finally come out of the house. Maxine comes out and basically says, close the windows, drive fast, and stop yelling.
He embarrassed me right off the bat, but he made it up, if I remember correctly.
Right. And I believe there's a joke, boy, if this isn't a great joke to say, this is from the 90s. The movie you guys went to see was, as he called it, Malcolm 10.
Malcolm X. Wow. Yeah, I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, but, and of course he, you know, Roman numerals, it's Malcolm.
That is hilarious, which I'm teaching my daughter. Well, she just got out of third grade. She's five, but she's advanced, and that's how I got stuck homeschooling. So,
wow. She's 5 years old and she just got out of third grade?
Yes, she just completed third grade. She'll be going into fourth grade in August, in September, and she'll be six.
That's amazing. Wow. The absolute opposite of the character of Waldo Faldo.
Yes, she is not his child.
No. Let's not start any rumors here now.
Hey, they've asked. People have already asked.
Yeah. I'm sure there's been a lot of, and beyond that, I'm sure there's a lot of, if you really look hard enough, creepy fan fiction about a lot of things
related to the
family matters. Characters. You guys could do that on your own. We are not going to be covering that on this show. unless listenership gets really low and we're desperate. The story kind of continues. Everyone's bouncing back and forth between each other. We find out that after the movie, Waldo does something gentlemanly, and he puts his jacket over a puddle, a really gallant old school thing to do for his date, so that Maxine would not get her feet wet. And then he proceeds to do something else that was also gallant but ill-timed, in that he then puts the jacket right on your shoulders, thus getting you all muddy and wet.
But I still found it endearing.
You found it, well, what you found endearing was that he then proceeded to jump in a puddle and get himself all muddy just so that you wouldn't feel alone in it. And then we kind of find out, and we get that hallmark of these great sitcoms of the time, the sweet emotional music in the background.
Oh.
Maxine explains, you know what? Like, it actually made me feel better what he did. And I've always gone out with people who take advantage of me, and he's not like that. And it was kind of the twist of, you know what? I kind of like him. And this was essentially the beginning of you guys having this ongoing relationship for much of the rest of the series.
Yes, many, many years. Oh, and I still love him. It still sounds like one of my best dates ever.
And this is something that happened without you guys ever on the show being in the same room, but it did such a good job of kind of setting the scene, like, oh, these are two characters that now we know and we care about, and you're kind of rooting till the end of the episode that this thing's going to have a happy ending. And everyone's happy to hear it, and Maxine thanks Laura for being a good friend, and Waldo thanks Eddie for being a good friend. And then that's really the episode. And then during the end credits, we just get this scene of Steve being up at like 3 a.m. and he's still waiting for somebody to call him back to let him know what happened on this date, only to get yelled at by his mother, I think, to go to bed because nobody's going to be calling. And I mean, that's a great hallmark of Family Matters. You know, it ended with something funny, but it was also a good character building episode, maybe more so than one would expect if you're just going to watch a random episode of Family Matters. So I really love the fact that you chose this one, not just for your character of Maxine, which apparently was pretty random that you picked the most significant Maxine episode. You picked good. You somewhere in your subconscious, you knew there was something special about this one.
Maybe,
but I do think for people who are fans of you and they want to see what you and all the performers of the show can do, I think that just the way this episode came off is like a prime example. You know, we've seen episodes of Family Matters where there's cars crashing through the wall, or like giant science experiments, things exploding. There's some gimmicks here and there on this show, but this is, we talked about this being treated like a play. This is as purely theatrical, I would say, as this sitcom could or would get. And it was done brilliantly. So
I think it was character driven.
Yeah, absolutely. Gave you
an idea of the chemistry that we really have together.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't even physical comedy. It was just you guys being able to pull off what was on the page and do it in such a perfect way with the perfect execution, and it just
Thank you. I think that's the great thing that made the show. We really like each other.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always happen, unfortunately, working on a show like that, especially for so long. And when you really like people or you love people, I think that comes through.
I think we
were faking our friendships. We were living them.
Yeah, it was great. And people, people were invested in you guys. And I think that they were invested more in Maxine, even more so after this episode. So
that's really sweet. Thank you.
No problem. And again, I mean, Well, first of all, thank you so much again for talking about this episode, because we've been chatting about it for quite some time. I've been taking up your night.
No, he's so sweet, you guys. I'm just going to be honest. He asked me about Family Matters episodes, and I was like, I have no recollection. And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, you don't watch them? In all fairness, I don't watch television, okay? So it's not that I just don't watch Family Matters. I don't really watch TV. I have watched The Good Girls, that new show. I've watched the first two seasons. I binge watched them. So I only watched them 2 days. I love that show, but Urkel's voice gets on my nerves. So I can't. Now, I didn't say Jalil for you guys who want to start drama. Not Jalil's voice, Urkel's voice. So it's like you start watching it and then it just like, ugh, you just hear it in your head all night long.
Well,
I don't want to hear that all night long.
I mean, if you think about it, it's really an interesting, I guess, sign of the times as well, because back in the day when the show was the show, when the show was in prime time, you're watching an episode a week. So you had time to get that voice out of your head. But to sit there and watch it, you know, to binge it, that might be a bit much to take. I mean,
I don't know. People do it though. Like they've been spending months watching. Somebody said that they watched all 9 seasons last month. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what were you doing? How do you go to bed at night? I would just keep hearing, did I do that? And I'd be so
irritated. I'd love for someone to, and I'm sure someone has come up with the stat of how many did I do that's in total throughout the series. There's a number. Somebody has counted this up, I'm sure.
Poor kid. poor kid who did it, and poor Jalil. Poor kid. But he's phenomenal, you know? Undeniable genius.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, you know, on your show, again, and I don't think it was just the chemistry between you, but I think you were all just, you know, you're all just great at what you did. And I think I don't think a show like Family Matters will ever get the credit it truly deserves critically, but I think it's way better than whatever credit it would get just from a quality and performance perspective. You know, beyond all the success, it's just it's a damn good show.
We work for phenomenal people, from the producers to the writers to our gaffers and camera crew. Like, everybody was complete top notch. And not only was the cast like a family, but our crew, there was 180 of us, and nobody's job was more important than another person's on our set. It took all of us to make that show. And everybody was phenomenal.
That's great. That's great. And I can't wait. Again, we don't know when it's going to be. You know, I want to do it at a time when things are in motion, because I know you're going to be excited about it when the return to the world, to our world, of Punky Brewster, which is just, who would have thunk it? But it's happening, and it's happening,
and hopefully it'll happen in front of a live audience, and you could bring the kiddos.
Yeah, that would be something. I'll tell you something. It's funny, because I almost feel like from my life, from my childhood, when I first started really watching like live action sitcoms and things like that, Punky Brewster is almost a little bit before my time. I don't remember it very well, or maybe I just don't have a clear memory of it, but I can't wait to go back, because of all the different reboots and revivals of shows that have come down the pike over the last 5 years or so, I feel like this is the biggest stretch from a time perspective. Like, it's going back a ways.
It is going back a ways. One thing that I can say about Punky, though, Punky is one of those shows that set the foundation for the truth and set the foundation for talking to children about things that maybe their parents were not ready to talk about, or maybe the parents never even thought to talk to them about, but it's all done in a safe way where parents didn't walk away going like, oh my God, why did I let my kid watch that? And that is something that Soleil is definitely... has put into her mission, that she will keep the old Punky Spunky. And as you watch us grow into women, we will tackle those real life hard issues. And people are more critical now, I think, than they used to be. So they might not all like it, but but we're going to keep it not true to ourselves because we're not playing ourselves, but we're going to keep it as true to real life and as true to what women in their 40s are going through with their children. That's so we're going to tackle those real life situations.
I think it's going to be something that is really beneficial and really relevant to, you know, our age group, who are the people who grew up watching the original Punky. So there's going to be that nostalgia factor, but it's also going to, it's going to be good for us now. And it's going to be for good for kids now in that same way that Punky was so popular with, you know, the variety of age groups back then. So I think you're looking to accomplish the same sort of thing that the original show did, and you've got the platform to do it. It's going to be awesome. I don't want to overkill the hype because we're going to do it all over again when the show freaking finally comes to fruition, which, you know, once this, you know, once things we can't control go away, then right. That's, you know, certainly going to be on the agenda in short order.
And I pray that this COVID gets itself under wraps, because I would really love to do this in front of a studio audience. We did the pilot in front of an audience. So I pray that we continue to do the series in front of the audience, because there's nothing else like it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's nothing else like a lot, you know, all the things we know you for already in your career, which, you know, we're just getting started this year talking about all the things ahead for you. So again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I know you've got a lot of different ways and a lot of different things going on that you'd like people to check out. You'd like people to follow you. Where do you want to point them?
Look, if you're anywhere towards Miami or you go to Miami, you got to check out my spa. I have a wellness spa, and it's called Keon, which stands for Keeping It All Natural. And you can find us at keepingitallnatural.com. You can find me at therealcherry.com. Or if you're on social media, on all platforms, I'm CherryJohnson75. Make sure the 75 is there. The 75 ain't there, it ain't me.
Okay. And of course, Cherry's World, of course. The
podcast. Yes. Cherry's World podcast. We are on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Patreon. If you want to see it before it actually hits YouTube, it's on YouTube. And I post everything. Oh, you can also check me out at www.adviceformysisters.com. There you just get to know my thoughts and what's going on in my head throughout the week.
Is it scary? Or
sometimes. No. Good.
That's what we want.
It's my blogs. You can find my books if you are interested in taking an acting class virtually. We're all bored and stuck in the house. A lot of people want to be actors. You can have me for $1 a minute. I only charge for my time.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And at some point she sleeps also, I'd imagine, maybe once sometimes. A week or so.
Yeah. You know what? I sleep about 4 hours a night.
Wow.
Then I get back up and start it all over again.
You're very energetic for that. That's very impressive.
I think it's just autopilot at this point.
There you go. There you go. That's the way to do it. Cherry, thank you so much again. I am so excited to put this out for people to see, for people to hear. You know, I can't wait to start bugging you again so we can talk to you again about Punky when the time comes.
Never bug me. You call, I'm going to answer.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to you guys for checking us out this time on the Laugh Track. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, Cherry.
Thank you, honey. Have a good night.
Guys, thank you again and again and again for joining us on the Laugh Track. We appreciate you being here. We appreciate you following us and sharing and spreading the word. And we want to keep the ball rolling. The Laugh Track, of course, produced by me, Jerry Strauss, with additional Major League production by our maestro, Steve Prentice, our friend who does all the heavy lifting here on this show. And of course, if you want to hear more of our show, make sure you check out our website. LaughTrackPod.com is your one-stop shop for episodes old and new, as well as our free mailing list and links to all of our social media and many of the outlets where you can hear the show. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we are on Google, we're everywhere, man, and you can be too. So make sure you subscribe wherever you'd like so you can get the latest episodes as soon as they are released each and every week. Of course, social media, we're all over it, man. Instagram, we have an account that you can and should follow at Laugh Track Pod. Twitter, follow us there at Laugh Track TV. And of course, our Facebook group is growing and popping off, if you will. Is that what the kids say? You can check us out there and please join us at facebook.com/groups/Laugh Track Pod. Until next week, I'm Jerry Strauss. For Steve Prentice, this is the Laugh Track.